Tom and Bob quickly look at one another, then back at Mark. They had noticed the reddish-brown stains on the dirty cement near one of the outer brick walls in the central garage area of the warehouse, and the cement wall had pockmarks in it, as Tom had once pointed out to Bob. Sorry, guys, but the fact of the matter is, Pete's not taking any prisoners on this one, so don't fucking screw up again. He's got a very short fuse at the moment, says Sid. Say, what do they get for desserts around here? They graze the dessert tables, carrying back great amounts of ice cream cakes, cookies, pie, and more ice cream, until they finally decide it's time to split up, much to the relief of the manager. Mark and Sid drive Tom and Bob back to the parking lot and then leave to check into their motel. Tom coaxes the old lead sled to start and looks at Bob and says, I don't think I like this game anymore. Jeez, you and me both. Give me a cigarette, says Bob. They go to their motel and watch TV, smoke cigarettes, and worry for the rest of the afternoon, thinking about the bloodstains back at the warehouse. Time, noon. At Mulroon, while Tom and company are cleaning out the Prairie Buffet, David looks around the table and asks, well, now that we've been introduced to Pete, any ideas? Jay looks up and says it shouldn't be any problem to hack into the hotel net and capture Pete's room security code. You know, the one they use to make the room key cards. Also, I can monitor Jack's internet traffic in St. Louis and see if anything turns up, like emails or IMs. And I can access that fax server in Des Moines, too. How do you do that? Asks Todd. They use a virtual private network, VPN, running through a proxy service. I got the passwords to the proxy and the fax server. I can monitor all its traffic. Sweet, says Todd. In the meantime, after he checks in and we capture this key card data, I can send some people over there and we'll bug his room. He said he had a laptop. Any idea what kind? Oh yeah, it's a nice one. Wireless, big disk, dual core, built-in microphone and webcam too. It's how he does most of his work. He thinks his disk is encrypted. He's wrong. I installed a little keylogger on it a while ago, says Jay. So you hacked it? But of course. Laptop's got more Trojans on it than a drugstore condom aisle, says Jay proudly. Let me see what you got. Jay pulls the laptop out of her backpack and plugs a cell phone wireless access card into the side slot and powers it up. EVDO, says Todd. Yep. Where the towers support it. Looks like it's working here. What? Says Mike. Evolution data optimized. A way to send data high speed over cell towers, answers Todd. Geez, don't you guys ever speak English? Sometimes, like when we need to communicate with the unwashed, such as your humble self, quips Jay. Someday you're going to have one too many acronyms and then, boom, you won't know what the hell's going on. Tower of Babel all over again. And you'll forget your freaking passwords, too, pouts Mike. He's not a computer person, says Jay. Definitely not, agrees Todd. Okay, system's up. Let me try to get into the hotel first, says Jay as she starts probing the hotel's network, then says, oh, piece of cake. I've been into this chain's network before. They might as well post the security codes on a neon sign on the roof. Jeez, what idiots. I'll bet their whole in-room wireless system is insecure, too. Yep, it is. Todd watches and says, I have to remember to bolt my door tonight. Have you tried to hack any of my systems yet? Hey, give me a chance. I just got here last night. I've only been working on it for a few hours. I'll give you $25,000 if you can do it, says David. That's what I like, a challenge. Okay, I'm watching the registration desk computer. What name do you think I should look for? Mike says, oh, he won't use his real name. Look for something phony. Yeah, just thought you might know what name he uses when he's traveling. I'll keep polling the database. In the meantime, was that a serious challenge? About the $25,000, I mean? Yep, says David. Uh-huh. There's an easy $25,000 looking for me, as she looks up, grins, then hunches over the laptop again. Todd says, make that $50,000. I'll match David. Who the hell are these guys? She asks Mike. Oh, they're good for it, believe me. They also don't think they'll be paying you either, replies Mike. David pulls up some displays on his big screen. Jay eyes them for a moment, grunts, looks back at David, winks, and continues tapping away. Mike says, what's that? That is a firewall, or actually one of several. I'm watching your nerd girlfriend here trying to get past it. I really don't know why I bother, but what the hell's a firewall? Asks Mike wearily. It blocks access to our internal network. It filters and analyzes incoming and outgoing traffic, and blocks packets we don't trust. It also hides the identity and configuration of the machines on our internal network. So it has something to do with keeping out bad packages from UPS and FedEx, says Mike. Never mind, says Todd. Bingo, I'm in. Oh, really? Says Todd sarcastically. Are you now? Yeah, here, look, as she swivels the laptop around to display a streaming video of all of them sitting around the table, taken by the webcam above David's display. No, not quite. That's a honeypot. In fact, we got you, says Todd, on the other side of the table, who pulls out a keyboard from a tray under the table. He taps a few keys, and a new window appears, and on it is Jay's laptop, icons and windows and all. I kind of hacked your Windows remote login. Damn, how the hell'd you do that? Trade secret, dude. I will get even. You do know that. Well, it wasn't a bad try, actually. So, David, what's our consolation prize? Says Todd, like a quiz show announcer. Just then, Mary walks in and, shaking her head as she surveys the nerds assembled around the screen, says, you people ever play with anything other than your keyboards? David, completing Todd's remarks, and what everyone wants, Todd, an afternoon with the one and only Mary Murphy. What, this time I won? You got someone normal around here for a change? As Mary theatrically looks high and low. David points to Jay. No, not likely. Will she do? Her again. Usually scare off all the women in a few hours, says Mary. We didn't scare you off, says Todd, and God knows we tried. I'm here to maintain discipline, nerd boy. Is she dangerous? Asks Jay, eyeing her suspiciously. Oh yeah, she's very dangerous. Watch your step, says Mike. Well, honey, I guess your prize is the extreme makeover package for the day. Maybe we can get you some decent clothes and makeup, and a little bling off a nice home shopping channel. I can see that you are definitely bling deprived. What, these clothes are not nice? At a homeless shelter? Yes. Here? No. Sit down and wait a minute, Mary. Jay's hacking the registration system at the Regency Hotel. There's someone we're interested in over there, says David. All right, then I'll muse myself, says Mary as she sits down and pulls out a keyboard of her own and brings up a home shopping channel, the audio for which David quickly kills. Mary glares sinisterly at him. He says, use the damned earphones. She thrusts out her hands with that, what are you waiting for, and or do you want to live look. He tosses her a credit card. A moment later, she sees some jewelry that she likes and flips out a cell phone and begins dialing. David shakes his head and rolls his eyes. She gives him a, keep it up and you're in big trouble, look. The shopping channel answers. She rises and walks off, chatting up her old friend, the on-air host, in some dialect of bling oblivious to all. Todd gives Jay a remote login access password for the system running the big display. Jay displays a window showing her laptop screen on David's console. While waiting for the registration system to record a check-in, Todd and Jay commence to yap about how Todd managed to hack Jay's machine. Jay is impressed. So is Todd. Jay likes Todd's Got Root t-shirt. She says she has one just like it with the Linux mascot Tux. Mike is catatonic from acronym overload. By 1 o'clock, there's a caption across the bottom of the screen showing the shopping network. It says they're talking to Mary from Omaha. The announcers look very happy as they cheerfully model all manner of gold jewelry for the camera. Mary in Omaha appears to be buying stuff by the truckload, much to David's chagrin. Then Jay interrupts. Hold on. Got one. How about Harold Clayton? Just registered. My map search says the address he gave is that of the old Des Moines landfill. Methinks that's him. He definitely seems like a landfill kind of guy. How's he paying? Gift card. No way to trace it. Must be him. Okay, they just typed in his car license. Yep, Polk County. There it is. Room 924. Here comes the key card authorization code. Got a mag strip writer? Sure enough, says Todd. We use a lot of card entry doors and need to change the codes a lot. Text it to me to this address as he mouse highlights a user ID on the screen. Sure thing, says Jay as she opens a message window, copies the codes in, and transmits the message. I'll have it coded downstairs, then have some guys go over and wait for him to leave the room, then install some of my toys, says Todd as he gets up and gives a small salute. Jay begins tapping the keys on her laptop again. Mike asks, what now? Oh, nothing. I'm just using my credit card in Kansas City. Jack has access to things like that, you know. This'll throw him off the trail if he's looking for me. How about doing that for me, asks Mike. Maybe we could convince him I've left town. Too late. That train has left the station. They know you're here. Too much time has passed since the last usage. They won't buy it. Then why would it work for you? I only use cash on my way here. I know about these things. I don't like leaving a digital trail when I'm on the run. This will be the first transaction they can find. Are you on the run often? Says David. No, but I'm prepared. You can't be too careful. What? I'll bet you got a cellar full of canned goods and water. Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes. Mainly tuna and Poland spring water. Well, I had a cellar until 2 days ago. David says, speaking of food, let's get something to eat. Not much we can do right now. So, guys, what'll it be? What do you got in the menu? Asks Jay. Get her a can of tuna and a bottle of water, says Mike. Just you wait. Someday when that super caldera in Yellowstone blows, you'll see I was right. But I won't give you any tuna. No, siree. That's mine. And she rubs her hands together and assumes the posture of the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz. All mine, my little darlings. So, why are you in the Midwest, then? Isn't this closer to Yellowstone than Laconia and never heard of it? Asks David. Canary Islands, man. La Palma, Cumbre Vieja. That's why. You really shouldn't get her started. You'll regret it, says Mike. Okay, I'll bite. What's with the Canary Islands and all that other stuff? And why are you in Nebraska, asks Mary, taking a brief respite from shopping as she hunts for a cell phone with a charged battery. Super tsunami when Cumbre Vieja erupts. Anytime now. It'll cause half La Palma, one of the Canary Islands, for those of you who are geographically challenged, to slide into the sea. That'll send a 100-foot wall of water at the East Coast. Well, Yellowstone hasn't blown yet today, and we're too far from the beach to worry about tidal waves, so far as I know, so I'll call and we'll see what's in the kitchen, says David, as he picks up the phone and dials. Say, what's for lunch down there? Okay, yep, and hangs up. Mary quickly confiscates his phone and tosses him her phone. It seems her battery went dead, and this has cut into her shopping spree. David gives her an annoyed look and plugs his phone into the charger. She scrunches up her nose at him and takes his cigarettes. So what's for lunch, asks Mike. Nothing. They've got nothing prepared at the moment, so they're sending up groceries. We're on our own.